potatoes, gravy, green beans, rolls, dessert, these sort of things. The list is back there. The meat, the turkey, the ham, that stuff, I think we've got that all handled prior to this, and so we're just looking for the fixings. If you want to be a part of that, appreciate it. If you want to spend time with us that day helping, we certainly would welcome any help we can. We're trying to get as many young people involved as we can, and I think it's going to work out fine. If you want to spend your Thanksgiving with us and eat with us, we welcome you to do that. If you've got something going with your family and can't be here, we totally get that too. There's no guilt involved. You just enjoy yourself. We're just going to see how this works, okay? Megan? She's a preacher's kid. She'll always take money. Okay. Yeah, there's somebody that you have in mind that you'd like to invite. You can take one of those. They're really nice. Got the information on there, and just hand it to them. Say, hey, come join us. This is not, we want it to be an outreach. That's our primary goal. But we're not excluding anybody. It's not necessarily, well, you're so poor you can't eat anywhere else, come eat with us. That's not what it's about. It's just an outreach to anybody in the community. Maybe somebody that's just alone, don't want to drive to Lubbock, to Furs or whatever, they just want to come eat with us. Anything. So there's no exemptions there, okay? It's not exclusive. Okay, Misha, stand. She was standing already. Come on up here. She's going to share with us what's going on in Ukraine. For those of you that maybe are new around here, Misha is out of our church. He's been on the mission field there in the Ukraine for many years now. I don't know, maybe 10 years or so. But she's her sending church and proud to be. And she's doing a great work there. So she's going to give us an update. Okay?
Howdy. Very few churches do I actually say hello in English. It's really kind of fun to do that. Anyway, Brother Roy, I'm just going to point at you. And if, can you see me pointing at you, or should I say next? All right, I'm standing on the tippy toes. Does that help? All righty. Like Brother Chris said, I've been in Ukraine as of August 28th. It was 10 years. And for those of y'all that know me and knew me way back when, that was pretty unbelievable. But it's only through God that that has happened. And I kind of plan on another 10 or 20, depending upon what he lets me do. And I also wanted to let you guys know that it's because of this church, exactly 20 years ago, I walked through the doors of that fellowship hall, November 20 years ago. And I learned there, with God, all things are possible. And there's victory and freedom in Christ. And it's because of this church that I get to do what I do and have been doing for the last 10 years. And tonight I want to share some stories about what you guys have been a part of, whether you know it or not. So we'll go to the next one. Just to give everybody a reminder of where I hang out. Uh-oh. No. Y'all get to see that later. That's a fun one, but it's way down the line. There we go. That lovely little green spot on there is Ukraine. And as of yesterday, it went into the red zone. It was green for a while, but now Kiev is now officially in the red zone, which means we're under quarantine. And that's changed my life in Ukraine. I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go. Let's go on to the next one. This is my church that God has provided me with over there. An amazing church family that loves me and has accepted me. I'm the only American in the church, but they've kind of taken me under their wing, and they're tremendous help in my ministry. This is our pastor, Brother Nikolai, and his wife, Tanya. Go on. These are some kiddos from the Sunday afternoon kids club. These are equivalent to what we would call the bus kids. They've done, last summer we did a summer camp, and in the streets on the city. And these are the kids that have come in from that. On Sunday afternoons, they come in at 2 o'clock. We give them a hot meal. We have Bible lessons with them, games, kind of like mini VBS every Sunday afternoon, and I get to be a part of that. It's pretty awesome. And also through my church, God has brought me my very dearest friends in Ukraine. I do not hang out with very many Americans. I know Americans there, but so far as being close with them, I'm not. And there's several different reasons. But unfortunately, where I live, there are no missionaries or Americans that believe like I do. But God has given me some amazing friends in Jean and Gleb. We go to the Komarivka Orphanage, or I have been going for the last 10 years. Last fall, when the orphanage opened up after COVID, it was considered against the law for anyone outside of workers to come onto the orphanage property. Well, that didn't keep me out of the village where the orphanage is, so I go into the center, and the kids are allowed to come out of the orphanage and hang out with us in the town square. That's kind of a problem in the wintertime because there's no place for us to go to get out of the cold, but through spring and all the way through summer, I still get to go and hang out with my kiddos. My ministry has taken a complete, well, not complete, actually. I'm still working with the same kids because they come into the orphanage, and most of my kids I've known since their first day in the orphanage in kindergarten or first grade. And so I've been there 10 years. They graduate out of the ninth grade. So a lot of these kids I've known their whole lives. And so since I'm not allowed to go actually into the orphanage and spend much time there, I work with the graduates. And God laid on my heart, well, probably about a year and a half ago, that I wanted to spend more time with my graduates. I remember talking to Brother Chris about it. And little did I know that the world was going to change, and this is what I get to do. So this is an afternoon last fall with some of my kiddos. Now, graduates. Let me explain a little bit. They graduate out of the orphanage 14, 15 years old. They go into trade schools all over the country. Most of the trade schools that I go and visit are about 2.5 hours from where I live in different directions. And so whenever I go to a city, I gather all the kids that are in that area, and I spend the time with them, and then go to another city and spend time with those kids. So I do a lot of traveling. Anyway, these kids, they live in the dormitories of these trade schools. Zero supervision. Some of the places have a building for girls and a building for boys. Some have a floor for girls and a floor for boys. The only rules are go to class and be in by 10 o'clock at night when the doors lock. So let y'all's imaginations run wild. So my thing is keep up with my kiddos. And one of the ways I got to do that last year was Christmas. It was my first Christmas with my kiddos. It was so fun. They celebrate Christmas January 7th. And so on December 25th, they don't have any plans. So they all showed up at my house. I had 11 kids throughout the weekend for 5 days show up at my house. The girls stayed with me. The boys went and stayed in Jean and Gleb's apartment. And the first night, this girl is Katya. She graduated from the orphanage 5 years ago. She's been to camps after camps after camp, has not accepted Christ. That night, we were able to water those seeds that have been planted all those years. And I'm anxiously awaiting that harvest. But you guys pray for Katya. She just got married this summer, and she's still searching, and God's still waiting. Go on. These are some of my boys, one of the nights there, and Jean and Gleb, you can see them in there. With five of my boys, they stayed the entire time. Some of my girls had to go to work, come in and out, but my five boys, I don't know what it is. I did not know I was a magnet for little boys. I mean, I love the girls, but it's always the boys that stay. I've got two in my apartment right now. You'll hear more about them right now. I mean, a little bit later. We'll go on. We took them rollerblading. We did Christmas cookies. I didn't put those pictures in there, but we did Christmas cookies, and they decorated and everything. And then we took them to church. Every year on Christmas, our church has a Christmas morning service. And Christmas morning, I took all my kiddos to church, and there was nothing but standing room, and we're all standing there in masks and everything. And some of those kiddos have not been to church since the last time they were with me at camp when I took them to church. And that evening, I took them back to our youth room, and they watched It's a Wonderful Life in Russian. Now, think about it. These kiddos are about 15, 16 years old now, the majority of them. Think about a 15 or 16-year-old you know now. It's a Wonderful Life. I didn't find it in color. It was the black and white version. It's kind of long. It's kind of boring. And right at the most interesting part, the sound goes off. They're like, no, no, we have to figure this out. And somebody pulled out of their pocket a mini, like, USB speaker. And we got the popcorn bowl because it was empty by then. We propped it up and poked the speaker in the popcorn bowl so it would... It was amazing. They were like, we love that movie. So it was pretty cool. So, and I continue to do spring, summer, and fall camps. Unfortunately, fall camp would have been last weekend, but I kind of ended up stuck in the States longer than I had planned. There's something about this country. I come, and I can't seem to get out of it. But I'm hoping to go home on November 11th. Anyway, spring and fall camps continuing to happen. Summer camp this year. I had a special guest come to Ukraine this summer. My nephew Jacob, y'all got to see him this morning. I took a little boy to Ukraine, and I brought back a young man. It changed his life. And he wants to go back so badly. We don't know if COVID's going to let us do that or his parents, but hopefully next summer I'll get to take him back. He was very instrumental in our camp this year. He's been studying. He'd studied for a year and a half before he went to Ukraine, the Russian language. So when he got there, he knew a little bit. Within the first week or two, he was translating for the American team that came over. Kids, I tell you, I wish I could have gotten it that fast. So this is the American group with my Ukrainian group of leaders the morning we left for camp. The next one is all my kiddos that we rounded up. Now, how do you wonder I get 40 kiddos to go to camp with me when I can't go to the orphanage, and it's summertime? Well, it is a mystery. It's called social orphans. These parents that turn their kids over to the orphanage, they still have rights. So I go visit the parents, and I say, I want to take your kids to camp. They say, absolutely, Misha, what do you want us to do? Meet me here at this day, sign this document for me, take your kid out of the orphanage, give them to me for a week, and I'll return them to the orphanage. That's how it works. I drive around all over the place trying to track down parents to be able to take these kiddos. And it's their, I think it's all of our favorite time of the year is summer camp. We'll go on. They love singing. We have basically like every other summer camp. We have games, we have crafts, we have Bible time, but the best time is morning and evening worship time. They absolutely love it. The next picture is one of my favorites. These are my teenage boys. What are they doing? They're praising God. They're singing. They're reading those words. This is Vladik, Yarik, Misha, and Taras. I've known these boys since they were very, very little. The one that's facing you with his arms folded, that's Vladik. He was the first kid that we saw saved at summer camp about 7 years ago. Go on. This is Lalita and Jacob. Jacob gave his testimony the last morning of camp in Bible class. And that night, Lalita came to him and she said, I accepted Jesus as my Savior because of your testimony. So, I'll go on. One of the other things I get to do with my kiddos is I go and I get them for the weekend. Drive out either on Friday night or Saturday morning, pick them up, spend all day Saturday with them, Sunday take them to church. And then Sunday evenings, take them back. Generally, I get home about midnight on Sunday nights. It's exhausting, but it is so worth it. And it's just a couple of days, but it means so much to them. And it gives me more and more opportunities because I don't get to see them as often as I used to. Now, here's some of my graduates. Some of these are faces that y'all have seen before. I think it was 3 years ago, I did a Skype call with y'all and told y'all about 10 kiddos that accepted Christ at camp. All but one of the boys on this picture are those children. So we'll go on. These two boys. In the pink is Kolya, and in the blue is Maxim. Maxim has a father and two younger brothers, and he is an active Orthodox, Ukrainian Orthodox. He believes that way, and he believes in works. It's all works-based salvation. He came to camp in the spring, and he and I had several conversations about salvation. And he said, Misha, you make it sound too easy. It's just too easy. It can't be that way. So I need you guys to pray with me for Maxime. This kiddo, he's really struggling. He's searching. He came to me and asked me. He's got a very difficult life. He lives in Kiev, about 30 minutes from where I live. And we're trying to keep in contact with him, but he pulls away. The closer he gets, the farther away he pulls. And it's like salvation is right there, but he's fighting it so hard. Now, Kolya, the one in the pink, he is a true orphan. The year he graduated that summer, his mother committed suicide. He and his two little brothers live at an orphanage about 2.5 hours away from where I live. And Kolya calls me even now from Ukraine. And he's like, where are you? When are you coming back? I miss you. And we were hoping he would move to Kiev, but unfortunately it was cheaper for him to stay in the town he was in to go to university. So this is his first year in university. He's only 16 years old, and he's in university now. So I ask you guys to pray for Kolya and Maxime and the opportunities that I will have to continue to witness to them. We'll go on. These two young ladies, this is Nadia, and the girl that looks like she has a halo over her head, that is Renata. Renata is one of my girls. She, spring of 2019, she came to me and she said at spring camp, she said, Misha, I need to accept Jesus. Okay, what do you mean by that? Well, Misha, you said that if he's my Savior, he will be with me always. And I'm alone. I'm an orphan, a true orphan. She's one of the very few that are true orphans where they have no one. She says, when I leave the orphanage next year, I'll be alone, and I don't want to be alone. And you said he'll always be with me, so I want him. So we talked quite a bit that night. And that little girl, oh my goodness, there's two kiddos that when they got saved, they were on fire. And this is one of them. She's one of my girls that graduated this year, and she went into one of the trade schools. So I now have three that live in the same room. They all graduated together. They're living in the same dormitory, and they're going to be nurses. Renata is one of them that's saved. And remember Lalita, the one that accepted Christ at summer camp that was with Jacob? She's the other one. In a few minutes, I'll show and tell you the number three. We'll go on. This is, let me make sure I've got this right. The top corner over there is Lalita. Top corner over here is Karina. Karina was accepted Christ as her Savior in summer 2019. She was so excited when Lalita came to her. Lalita came to her. And that's very, very special, and I have an amazing story I probably don't have time to share with y'all about Karina and how God showed her. Just have to tell you, there was a bird feeder in a tree, and she noticed it. We had been talking, and she said a bird came, and it came to the bird feeder, but the bird feeder was empty, and it flew away. And she said, I don't understand. And we had been talking about how things in nature can reflect us, and when we look at them, we can see things about ourselves. And I told her, I said, Karina, you are like that bird feeder. God's going to send people to you, but the amazing thing is you have something to share with them, a food of life eternal. And so when Lalita came to her, that meant something very special to her. And she was like, wow, this is like that little bird. Anyway, to me, it's exciting and it's amazing. Anyway, so after Lalita accepted Christ, we were at the bonfire. And Karina came to me and she said, Misha, how do you say in English that Lalita accepted Christ? I was like, you're never going to get accepted Christ. So how about the easiest way is Lalita got saved. She goes over, she stands up on the bench because Lalita did not want the kids to know she accepted Christ. So that's how Karina wanted to say it in English so the other kids wouldn't know. It didn't work. Everybody was too excited. Everybody knew. Anyway, she stood up and she said, Lalita got saved in English. She repeated it over and over and over. And the reaction of the Americans, first of all, they're not used to a Ukrainian kid speaking English. Once it set in, they just ran and flocked, and it was amazing. And all the kids were like, what, What happened to Lolita? What happened to Lolita? Anyway, that same night, a little bit later, after we had done our campfire singing, the little girl in the middle at the bottom, she is 12 years old. Her name is Alina. I know, I throw out a lot of names, they all sound alike. Alina was sitting next to me and she said, "Misha, can I talk to you? Can we go to your tent and do what you talked about earlier?" And of course I knew exactly what she meant. And when we were done at the campfire, she went with me back to my tent and she accepted Christ as her Savior that night. We'll go on. This is my third little girl I was telling you about, Natasha. Natasha has been to camps with us all the way through her 9 years at Komarivka Orphanage. She actually has a family. She has never stayed in the orphanage. She just goes there for school. And so she's a little bit more superior than the rest of the kiddos. And she makes that known. She's one of the girls that's staying in that dorm room. She has two young believers with her, and she's doing everything she can to pull them away. My goal and plan when I get back is to go out to that village and where their school is and to start doing Bible studies and discipling these young Christian girls that have accepted Christ. And I am praying that God will use that to draw Natasha to him. So would you guys pray for Natasha? Now we're going to go on, and I think the next, yes. These are my boys. These are my sons. They call me Mama, and I call them son. The first time Jacob, Sasha came home, and he'd just been back from a bike ride. He came in, and he was hot and sweaty, and Jake was sitting with me on the couch, and he was like, "Hi, Mamochka." I said, "Privyet, sinok." And Jake sat up, and he said, "Wait a minute. He just called you Mom." I said, "Yeah." I said, "You called him son." "Yeah." "But he's not your son. You're not his mom." Sasha understands just enough English to have understood that. And he said, he looked at me and he said in Russian, "He has no idea how many kids you have." That thrilled my heart. I heard from Sergey just the other day. I hear from them all the time. They're in my apartment making sure my apartment's okay. And hopefully my plants will still be alive when I get back. But honestly, my apartment is a shelter for them while I'm gone because neither one of them have a safe place to be. Anyway, so Sergey called me the other day and he said, "Mom, I need some motherly advice. Just talk to me." And it was just, I mean, my dream as a little kid was to grow up, get married, and have kids. And I was asking my mama the other day, why didn't that happen? Because God knew they needed a mama. And I get to be that for them. And Sasha called me yesterday, and the first thing is, "Hi, Mom, how you doing?" And it's just, I don't know. I couldn't love them any more than if they were mine. And they're y'all's brothers and brothers. And some of these kids are y'all's sisters. And you guys get to meet them, and that to me is just amazing. They're not just faces. They're mine, and they're y'all's because they're his. So something very special happened the day before I flew back to Ukraine. I had to bring Jake because he'd already been there as long as he could. And we'd been talking about this for over a year with Sasha, and Sergey's been working on it, trying to get himself to that point. But the day before I left, both of my boys were baptized into our church. And that is the video that you got a little bitty snippet of earlier. They're asking them if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Дорогі браті, віруєте ли ви, що Ісус Христос є вашим Господом і Спасителем?
Вірую.
Повірте вашому повірению нашого Спасителя Ісуса Христа. Крестьте вас во имя Отца, Сына и Святого Духа. Аминь.
Аминь. That was two of three boys that are very dear to my heart that got baptized that day. Now, in Ukraine, baptism is a huge deal. It's an all-day affair. Everybody brings food. We picnic. They bring the piano. We even had violin. We had all the instruments. And we sing out there. And after the baptism, They line the kids up. The next video, you'll see they're all lined up kind of standing on this white, almost kind of like a white sheet. And it's the first time that these kids get to partake in the Lord's Supper. And it's a big deal for them. So I wanted to give you all just a little taste of a day at the baptism. That was my last taste of Ukraine before I came here, and I need to do this the night before I leave because it makes me homesick, and I always have a hard time leaving. Anyway, all right, it's 6:40. One of two things can happen right now. I can tell you two more stories, or you can ask me questions. Do y'all have questions that you're just on the edge of your seat waiting to ask? Are y'all waiting for stories? Hands go up if you want questions. Okay, you get stories. All right, let's do the next pictures. And I'm going to whiz through these because I know y'all want to go home. And this is very hard for me to whiz through. So these are the Jacob, my two boys, that Sasha and Sergey, my little sons, and three other people from our church. I took these six kiddos, and we went to the mountains for a week. Had an amazing time. Full of adventures. Oh, that big blue thing in the background is my van. That lovely van has been through the ringer in the last 5 years. And this summer, it was put to the test. So we went up the mountain to go to what's called the Mysterious Falls, waterfalls. We never made it to the waterfalls because we hit a patch of mud. And we went sliding. Right before where we stopped, there were trees on both sides. Right after where we would have kept going was trees on both sides. Right where we stopped was a lovely little ravine where there was nothing for a ways, and then a bunch of trees. The next picture will show you a log. It's kind of hard to see. I was hoping you could see it better. But there's a log there. It's the root of a tree that is stuck in the mud, and it's hollowed out. That, and I believe along with a whole bunch of angels, is all that held us from going down that ravine. My front tire got stuck on that log. And an amazing, lengthy, wonderful, over-the-top story happened through all of that. And those kids witnessed God's hand in an amazing way. When the fire department came up there, they came with this big, huge truck and a tractor to pull us out. And the fireman looked at me and he said, first of all, why are you still in the car? Because they pulled everybody out through the window behind me because when you couldn't get through the doors because we were afraid it was going to go over. And I stayed in the car because I was afraid it was going to go over. The fireman gets up there and he says, what are you doing in the car? Get out of the car. I said, well, I'm afraid if I move, it'll go over. And he said, I don't care. Get out of the car. So anyway, after they finally got us out, turned us around, sent us down the hill, the fireman said two things. He said, first of all, if it's not asphalt, you don't get on it. Like, okay. Secondly, it's very important because the last car that came up here and went over that ravine, they didn't make it. He said, it is only a miracle of God that you guys survived this. What a testimony to those five men that helped us get out of that. So, go on to the next picture. This was 2 days later. I don't think that's asphalt. It's a wooden bridge. We were trying to find a mechanic to fix the oil leak that happened because we hit the log and all kinds of fun stuff. So this was a two-hour ordeal to get us out of that. We had so many adventures. On the way home, once we got everything fixed, everything was great. On the way home, the air conditioner went out. I tell you, got home, took it to the mechanic, and he said, your electrical system is shot. He said, if this thing starts smoking, you turn it off and get out. Jacob looked at me, he said, it was smoking on our way home from the mountains. I'm like, shh. If it can happen, it's going to happen to me and my cars. Anyway, so that's the end of my pictures, but that's not the end of the story. My car is in the shop. Somewhere along the way on this lovely trip, I got a ticket because I found a parking place. I was so excited. We're in a big city, and there's a parking place, so I parked there. Well, there's a reason there was a parking place, because it wasn't a parking place. So somewhere along this particular issue of the bridge and the police were called and all kinds of craziness, that ticket, which is a receipt, got lost. I thought I put it in with my car papers. So my car is in the shop. It's a Sunday afternoon. I'd taken a taxi to church, took a taxi to the shop to talk to my mechanic, went there to look in the car for that ticket because it had to be paid before I left Ukraine. No ticket. That's a long story short. People in Ukraine tell me don't worry about it. Nobody pays their tickets anyway, so yeah. But that ticket's very vitally important because of what happened that afternoon. I called a taxi, and to get into where my car was, you have to go through a long way to get there. And I asked my mechanic, I was like, can you just drop us off at the restaurant down here so we can meet the mechanic there? So I called the mechanic, and he met me down there. We get in the car, we drive home. It's about a 25-minute drive. He hears me talking to Jacob, knows I don't know English, and so it starts a conversation. He says, why are you in Ukraine? He said, are you, you know, first of all, where did you learn English? Convinced him I was an American. And he said, so why are you in Ukraine? And he said, did you marry a Ukrainian and all this? And so that started an open door. I mean, my goodness, how can you not take that one? 25 minutes, folks, from where he picked me up to where he took me to my house, we started talking about the Lord. He started asking me questions, all kinds of questions. We pulled up in front of my house. We were so deep into this. We pulled up in front of my house. He turned off his car, and while we were sitting there for the next 30 minutes, he canceled 3 more calls. That day, he told me, he said, I've never prayed. He said, I've read a couple of prayers in my life. He said, I've never prayed. He said, you believe. I understand that you believe what you've been telling me. He said, but I've met other people that believe what they say. He said, so how do I know who's right here? And I said, well, and I told him about, you know, how man believes in themselves, their works. Work. Ukrainian Orthodox is all about works-based salvation and keeping it. And I told him about Jesus and how I don't have to depend on me at all. And he said, I don't understand. He said, how do you know that God even exists? I said, well, tell me, can you see the wind? He said, yeah. Said, no, 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 wait a minute. Think about it. Can you see the wind? No. You can see the effects of the wind. He said, yeah. He said, right now is the effects of God, the effects of the Holy Spirit right here. I said, if God was not working, if God didn't want this time with you, my car would not be in the shop. And he finished it with, and you wouldn't have taken a taxi today. He broke down crying, weeping, and he's just like, I'm sorry, I don't do this. I never do this. We talked for quite a while longer, and I prayed with him. He didn't want to pray, but he said, I know what you're telling me is true, but it's too easy. His name is Alexei. I don't know if Alexei accepted Christ that day. He was not willing to go any further. I have his phone number. Because of where my car was to where I needed to go, I still have his phone number. So when I get home, I'm going to call him. And I'm going to follow up with him and see. Because I told him, when you leave here, this isn't between you and me. This is between you and God. So I ask you guys, I know I've given you a lot of information, but the ones I ask you to pray for specifically are Kolya, Maxim, Natasha, and finally the taxi driver, Alexei. And guys, it's one of my favorite verses from Bible college, and I know I've shared it with y'all before, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when it's truly our Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. He was praying for each one of us. And he was praying for these kiddos and those that have yet to believe. Thank y'all so very much. Love you.
I appreciate that. What we're going to do is take a few minutes here and have an altar call. And maybe you want to pray right where you are. Maybe you want to come to the altar and pray. Well, let's focus primarily. You might have something on your own. That's fine. But let's focus on praying for Misha and, of course, safety going home in the next few weeks. And then also her ministry there and these individuals that she just shared with us. And just kind of focus on that. Okay. So let's go ahead and stand. And for a few moments here, we'll invite you to come to the altar if you choose, or pray right where you are. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.